Blog Talk Radio.
Kingway, Fox, Beer, Locker's acting very weird. Captain Pike, Sisko's wife, Klingons and the afterlife. Boimler, Tendy's dog, Ransom is very hard. Spore Drive, Black Alert, Giorgio has gone berserk. Teacher Batliff, Edward is an idiot. Spock is dead, Worf is wed, Chekhov's wearing red. Data's cat, Kempak's at, Q has had enough of that. Beam me up, make it so, everybody let's go.
We talk about the series. You can join us live by picking up your phone now. We talk about the series. We're coming to you on your streaming services now. We talk about the series.
Well, with that theme song, it's time for another awesomely exciting episode of of Trek Talkin'. I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim. And with me this week is my leading Trek spurt, Charles. He's out in Las Vegas. How you doing tonight, Charles?
I'm doing good, staying inside to keep cool. We're floating around mid-90s today. We haven't been threatened with quite triples yet, but it's been hovering around threatening. It's like, not yet. I still want my 80s until June.
Yeah, we're hovering around 50. A little chill in the air, but I'll take it. It beats snow that Leslie had up in Saranac Lake.
Yeah.
So we have interesting show planned for you guys tonight. It's just going to be me and Charles flying solo today. Eric had another obligation, so we're going to try to get through the show without Eric. So hang out with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Our phone number here is 646-6433. Put us in speed dial. That way you can just, you know, get in there real quick or real easy. So anyways, we have a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk about Star Trek Beyond. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about, so you want to hang around for that. And we're going to talk about Star Trek birthdays around the globe, our top cities, the same things we always do, so you know what to expect. We're also going to talk about Jonathan Archer. Could he be the next Star Trek actor to appear on the future Star Trek? Interesting question. Ryan hires LeVar. I wonder what's going on with that. And Resistance is futile. There's a new Borg book out, which Charles is going to tell us about. And Worf is back. Or is he? I don't know. You'll have to hang out to find out. So at any rate, please visit us on our Facebook page at Trek Talking and Beyond. Spell that out. We just broke 50,000 followers a few moments ago.
Yay.
We're at 50,004. So, wow. Thank you very much, everybody. And you can join our fans at our Facebook page at Trek Talking and Beyond. Spell that all out. And you'll also notice that you'll see a Live Long and Prosper at the top of the page. All you need to do is go there and tell us where you're from. If you see a heart next to your name, that means that I have chosen your name, and you'll be mentioned in a fan shout-out on our next show. So please check that out. Now, normally at this point in the show, we would turn to Eric, and he would be doing the numbers around the globe, so you're going to have to suffer through it with me. So pulling in our number one spot is the United States, but that's because we broadcast from the United States, with 77.16% of our listeners coming from the United States. But as I said, that just makes sense. Now, the UK is in our number two spot, and they've been holding pretty consistently steady in that location. Last week, they set a record with 5.65% of our listeners coming from the UK. They've dipped down just a skosh to 5.61% this week, but that's still respectable and still very awesome. Coming in next, we have Australia, the land down under. They dropped down just a skosh to 4.05 5%, but they're hanging pretty steady there as well, so that's awesome. And, of course, our neighbors up to the north of us, Canada, and they're coming in at 2.98%, just a little bit down from where they were last week. And then we have Norway coming in with 2.19% of our listeners. That's a slight drop from the 2.26 that they were at last week. And coming in at number five, who just jumped out of nowhere, is Germany. And they're holding steady at 1.26% of our listeners. So there you have it. Those are our global numbers. And those numbers come directly from Blog Talk Radio. Every time somebody listens to the link, every time someone goes to Blog Talk and listens to one of our shows, it doesn't have to be this one. It could be any one of our archival shows. Or anytime somebody downloads it, listens to it on iTunes or Stitcher, Spotify, those numbers are recorded. And I get those. iHeart as well. And I get those numbers. So that's where those numbers come from. But wait, there's more. We also get the regional numbers, the cities where the people are clumped around. And for that, we have our top cities, and we're going to turn to Charles. He's going to give us a rundown of our top cities for this week. Well, actually, for last week, because these numbers are a week behind.
Okay. Well, Portland dropped one spot from 20th to 21st. Las Vegas dropped from 17th down to 18th. So there's been some shifting around there, but we see some shifting in our top 10. San Antonio stayed at number 10. Is now number 9. That's San Paulo, Brazil. And last week's number 9 is now this week's number 8. Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. And the rest of our numbers stay the same. We got Chicago, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Los Angeles, California, Brisbane, Victoria, Australia, Sydney, New South Wales, Australia, London, UK, and New York, New York. So we got a little
in the number
one. Shifting in the number one. We got a little bit of shifting going on up there in the high top tens and teams. Or so. We got to look up and find some time where Chris is and see where his city's doing.
Yeah, I should check that out. Maybe I'll do that for the next show. I'll check that out and see where Chris. I know Rutland doesn't. Vermont doesn't even fall on the list. We're so low. So that's But hey, it is what it is. So. This is the part of the show where we do our fan shout-outs. And you can go, like I said earlier, you can go right over to our Facebook page and tell us where you're listening from. And every week we pick 15 lucky listeners. This week it's only going to be 10 because Eric isn't with us. And we give you an individual shout-out. So, Charles, why don't you get us started with our fan shout-outs?
Well, I'm going to start up with top fan Linda Leonard from Elk, Washington. We got Craig McKinnison from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Top fan Jason Clark from Australia. Austria. Stephen Dijon Rogers from Waco, Texas. And Maria Marik from Athens, Greece. Not sure if we've had anybody from Greece yet in our list.
I don't think so. That might be the first one.
We're getting people from all over the world. Great to see you.
Yeah, that's great. That means we're doing something they like, right?
Exactly. I bet you've got a few from around the world yourself.
Yes, I do. I'd like to say hello and thank you to listening to Adam M. Sullivan from Rhode Island. Hopefully, Rhode Island Comic Con will be happening again not too long from now. We haven't been there in couple of years because of this COVID thing. So hopefully Rhode Island can sponsor the largest convention in the smallest state once again. I look forward to it. So thank you for listening to Adam M. Sullivan from Rhode Island. We'd also like to say hello and thank you to Jim Hutchinson from Scotland, about 30 miles away from Scotty's birthplace. That's pretty cool. Thank you for listening to Jim. We'd also like to say kapla to Sissy Sting from Lafayette, Louisiana. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. And Shelly Rubin, originally Montreal, the home of William Shatner. That's pretty cool, too. But, of course, yeah. I saved the best for last. I would like to live long and prosper, and thank you so much to Cindy Ann Sedeker, originally from East Glenville, New York. That is where I was born and raised. That's where I met my awesome wife. I went to Scotia Glenville High School, as did my wife. And I very rarely see people from my hometown. So it's pretty awesome that Cindy Ann is listening to us in my hometown. So I just want to send out a represent to Cindy and Kapla. Thank you so much for listening to each and every one of you people. We could never, ever do the show without you. Again, if you'd like to hear your name on a fan shout-out, just go to our Facebook page, Truck Talking and Beyond, and let us know where you're listening from. If you see a heart next to your name, you want to listen to the next show because your name is going to be mentioned. And now we do our Star Trek birthdays.
That was not a Klingon song.
So this is the part of the show where we would... Nope, it definitely is not. This is the part of the show where we would turn to Eric to do our remembrances. And this is where we take a moment to remember members of our Star Trek family that sadly are no longer with us. But I'm going to make an attempt to fill in for Eric and do the remembrances. So we're going to start off remembering on his birthday Theodore Bekel. And you're saying, Uncle Jim, who's that dude? Well, I'm going to tell you. He plays Sergei Rozhenko. That name should ring a bell with you if you're a Star Trek The Next Generation fan or if you're a fan of Worf like I am. That's Worf's adopted father from the TNG episode Family. Remember, he has all the blueprints at home. That's what he kept telling Worf and Captain Picard. So happy birthday and remembrances go out to Theodore Bekel. We're also taking a moment to remember John Neville on his birthday. He had a very interesting part. He played Sir Isaac Newton in the TNG episode Descent. If you remember that one, he was hanging out with Data on the holodeck before he went crazy and killed the Borg. We'd also like to remember playing poker. That's right. We'd also like to take a moment to remember.
That's the only episode where we've actually had a person play himself in the series.
That's right. You're right. Stephen Hawkins played Stephen Hawkins in that episode, which is pretty cool. We'd also like to remember Don Marshall. On his birthday, he played Lieutenant Boma in the TOS episode, The Galileo 7, one of my favorites from TOS. We'd also like to take a moment to remember Barry Russo, who played a couple of characters. The first one that he played was Lieutenant Commander Giotto in the TOS episode, Devil in the Dark. But I think the one that most people would remember him from is Commodore Robert Wesley on the TOS episode, The Ultimate Computer. He called Captain Kirk Captain Dunsell. And I think that's the role he's remembered for. So we take a moment to say happy birthday and remember Barry Russo. The next one on my list is Jeannie Ball, who played Nancy Crater from the TOS episode The Man Trap. That's an awesome episode if you remember it, because the salt vampire was played by Sandy Gimple, who we also interviewed on this podcast a little while ago. And she was great to talk to, a lot of fun. And, of course, there were two versions of Nancy Crater in this episode. And Jeannie Ball played the older version of the two. And the last birthday that I have to mention is Mary Carver, who played Nadir in the Enterprise episode Terra Nova. And that wraps up my birthdays, my remembrances for this week. And luckily, Eric isn't with us because we don't have a lot of birthdays. So it would have been a pretty quick birthday list if we had to break them up between me and Charles. But as it turns out, Charles gets them all. So, Charles, who do you have for birthdays who are still with us today?
Okay, let's go down this list. I got Brian Toshi, who played Ray Zingo on TOS's and All the Children's Show lead, and also played Ensign Peter Lynn in TNG's episode Night Terrors. Also played Takanshi in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes, I remember him well in Revenge of the Nerds.
Then we've got Dennis Crehan, who played Lewis in the TNG episode Family. Melinda Kuehl played Soren in TNG's episode The Outcast.
Now,
Richard Plum,
that, you remember that episode? That is an episode that a lot of fans were talking about when we got Adira and Gray on Discovery, and they were saying this episode. This is the episode that a lot of the fans were talking about, and this is the episode where Riker falls in love with a androgynous. No, I don't even know if androgynous is the right word. This particular race, who I don't remember their name, would change sexes every whatever it was. They would go into a husk and they would become a man, and then they would go into the husk and become a woman, and they would change sexes periodically. I don't remember the exact details. But they weren't male and they weren't female. They were male and they were female and they were male and they were female. And Riker fell in love with a woman with a person who was a female at the time. And according to her race, if you didn't change sexes back, whatever, then they assumed that there was something wrong with you. And they did shock therapy and chemotherapy and all kinds of different things on your brain to make you normal again. And it was TNG's episode opportunity to deal with all the different sexual genders, homosexuality, a whole bunch of different issues. And, yeah. You know, I don't know how successful they were on that episode, Charles, because
I don't think we were quite ready for that topic yet. That topic got handled a little bit in DS9, but we weren't quite ready for it yet. Even DS9 said that they weren't quite ready to deal with such issues.
They were a little bit ahead of themselves on that one.
Yeah.
But it was a great episode, and that particular actress did a great job in that role.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Good episode. Go back and watch it. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch it. The Outcast. It's a really good episode.
Then I've got Richard Cox, who played Kirill Flynn in TNG's episode The High Ground. Gregory Henry played Galantine in Star Trek Nemesis, and Zhu Kam in Enterprise Dawn.
If you guys don't remember, a lot of people didn't watch Enterprise. And this particular episode of Enterprise has Trip Tucker trapped on a planet. He crashes in his shuttle, and he crashes with an enemy who is Zhu Kam. And they fight together, and then they have to help each other escape. And it's almost exactly like that movie that came out. Oh, I'm drawing a blank right now. Enemy Mine.
Enemy Mine or something like that.
It's just like Enemy Mine. That's another good episode that if you haven't seen it on Star Trek Enterprise, go and check it out because it's a good episode. Sorry to keep interrupting. I'm going to interrupt a couple times, though, because you've got some good ones on your list.
I got one that Jim wants to talk about because we really got somebody that Jim's familiar with several of his pieces of work. John Ray Davis played Leonardo da Vinci, the hologram in the Voyager episode. He also played Gimlin in Lord of the Rings, Fala in Indiana Jones, I'm not sure which episode, which movie, and Professor Arturo in Slider.
Yeah.
Any comments on that one, Jim?
Yeah, he's a great He's played in so many things, it was hard to break him down. But, of course, he was in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and he was in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Great character, really great character. And, of course, Gimli, the dwarf in Lord of the Rings, and Sliders, a little show that was on in the mid-90s, and he was on it with, oddly enough, Jerry O'Connell, who now is on Star Trek Lower Decks. So that's pretty cool. And, you got a couple more good ones on here.
Yeah. Oh, then we got the actor who played Masette, TNG's episode, The Wounded. But fans aren't going to recognize that character. Fans are going to be more interested in his portrayal of Gal Dukat in DS9. We're talking about Mark
Alamo.
Alamo.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
Gal Dukat. What a interesting, very complicated character. He had an interesting band with character band from his perspective. Especially how it ended.
Very much so. And Leslie Hoffman has worked with him many times and has great stories to share about him.
Yeah. And then our
this is
our big one that Jim would sit there and be ready for. And that's Santiago Cabrera, who played Captain Cristobal Rios in Picard. He also played several holograms of himself in Picard. And boy,
yes, he did.
I think one of my favorites are the holograms because each of them have their own personality.
Yep, he's a great character. Great character. Happy birthday to Santiago. So listen, guys, Charles and I managed to muddle through, but we're going to have to take our first commercial break. But don't go anywhere because when we come back, we have Star Trek news. Don't touch that dial.
Trek Talking. All things Star Trek and beyond. Thursday night, 7:30 to 9:30, all hailing frequencies are open. iTunes, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, and wherever fine podcasts are found. Trek Talking, boldly going wherever your mind is willing to go.
And welcome back, everybody. You're here with Uncle Jim and Charles, and we're about to do our Star Trek news.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Incoming transmission.
Enter authorization code.
Command codes verified.
Define parameters of program.
Level 9 authorization required.
Specify parameters.
Transfer of data is complete.
So this is the part of the show where we talk about various items and issues that are in the news pertaining to Star Trek at the time. And one of the things we're going to talk about tonight is a book series that Eric likes to read.
We have a Borg. What? Lower your shield and surrender your ships.
Oh,
we will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to serve us. Resistance is futile.
Back. Get back here. My God, those, you know, they never know when to stop, do they? They just
show up
and they try to assimilate you, and they just don't know when to stop. So there is a new book that actually came out since I found this article. And again, all the articles that Charles and I are going to talk about, you can find in their entirety on our Facebook page at Trek Talking and Beyond. So, Charles, what is our Borg friend talking about?
Well, Star Trek, the Borg and the Delta Quadrant book. Resistance was tile when the Borg and Delta Quadrant, Akiatron to Cream, assimilated readers on May 4th. The fifth entry in the Hero Collector's popular series, Star Trek Ship Books, and the first of two companion volumes featuring ships from Star Trek Voyager. This volume, written by veteran Star Trek authors Marcus Riley, Ian Chaddock, and Mark Wright, opened with fearsome ships operated by Star Trek's greatest villains, the Borg, including the Borg Cube and Sphere, the Borg Queen ship, the Renegade. Beyond the Borg vessels, fans can take a deep dive into 35-plus ships operated from various species Captain Janeway and USS Voyager crew encountered during their adventures in the Delta Quadrant. The ships are illustrated using the original CGI models created for the show, which have been retrieved from the archives, uncovering some hidden gems that would delight fans thought they knew everything. Riley, Chaddock, and Wright complement the illustrations with detailed technical overviews and operational history. If you are a fan of detailed knowledge of ships, this series is for you. I already had this and the companion on pre-order, and on May 4th, that other series day, the book appeared on my patio, on my porch, waiting for me. I cracked into the book and just gawked through looking at all the pictures and stories. And they'll go into detail. Oh, you'll see pictures that, you'll see crew or pictures from the actual episodes in there, detailed on it. You'll even look at the back of the book, and they have three different indexes listing it from ship, the ABC order of ships, and the episodes they're in. The episodes they're in an index, and the episode series and season they are listed. So you have three different cross-references in the back of the book if you want to learn more about these ships and what episodes they were in. Very highly detailed books. And for the collector who wants details on these ships, these are great books to own.
How many pages is the book, Charles?
Oh.
Just out of curiosity.
Stops on the pictures at 221 and keeps going. I'd say about 230 pages.
Oh, that's a nice size
book. It is a thick, hard-bound book. I'm surprised Jim hasn't actually looked into the Klingon book.
There's a Klingon book?
There is a full dedicated Klingon book. They start off with two books. The first two books were Federation, and it was I think we were going from First Contact all the way to TOS. The second book was TNG all the way through to Nemesis. Then there's a Klingon book. There's Friends of the, they listed here, Federation members. And then in here we go on to the Borg and the Delta Quadrant. In fact, one of my favorite pages in these books is when they put all these ships together on the same page and give you reference to sizes. And rather interesting to see the size comparisons of some ships. How tiny a Borg probe is in comparison to a cube.
I'll have to try to find the Klingon book.
Yes, you do need to find the Klingon book.
See if I can track it down. And speaking of Klingons, one of my favorite Klingons.
I protest. I am not a merry man.
No, he is not a merry man.
He's
but
still
I am.
Not merry.
No, I don't know what's wrong with him. So this article was actually, we were going to talk about last week, but we bumped it to this week. Michael Dorn put out some cryptic tweets about Starfleet calling him back to service, and the internet was abuzz. And a new Michael Dorn game trailer for Star Trek Legends is what it turned out to be. Michael Dorn got everyone excited earlier this week when he tweeted out that he was returning to Star Trek to do something new with his iconic character Worf. Naturally, this got everyone guessing about a return to the television side of things, possibly as a cameo on his own series, maybe even in a new film, perhaps. Alas, that's not what was turned into Star Trek Legends, a new Apple game currently. The game isn't on any other platforms or mobile devices, which is unfortunate. The premise of the game features Star Trek icons trapped in the Nexus. You guys remember the Nexus from Star Trek Generations? The game is new. And if you're a fan of mobile gaming, it may be worth your time. Plus, Michael Dorn is back as Worf, and that's something. I've played the Star Wars version of this game. Actually, I'm still playing the Star Wars version. It's called Heroes, and it's a lot of fun. I would like to play the Star Trek version, but it's not available. You can only get it on Apple Arcade, unfortunately. Hopefully, they'll change it to some other platforms in the rest of the world that doesn't use Apple can enjoy the game. So I'm looking forward to that. Give it a shot and see how it goes. So, Charles, what do you have for us?
Okay. Star Trek. He's returning because to finally solve one of TNG's biggest mysteries. Gwen and Q have centuries of unexplored history. And while she's amicable to the Continuum, she's got it in for Picard's old frenemy. Picard returns in his self-titled series with a welcome reunion for TNG fans. The first season brought plenty of warm memories, but fans were missing has already been teased for second outing. Federation's omnipotent god of mischief is returning with rumors of Whoopi Goldberg returning as Guinan. another showdown isn't just inevitable, it might explain the roots of their anonymity. His powers and his legacy of mayhem among the mortals of Star Trek have been well documented, but Dynan remains a mystery. Over the years, few details of her people, the Ellurians, have seeped out. Their race of listeners with rich, empathic abilities and a complex sense of time. The first time Q and Guinan met on the Enterprise D was for all involved. Q visited the lounge with Picard. Guinan is on the edge as Q taunts her with questions about her identity, and she's ready to fight, which unsettles him. Guinan later admits to Picard that she's dealt with Continuum before, but her dislike for this Q, whom she calls an imp and a troublemaker, goes without detail. The history between Q and Guinan hasn't been hinted at anywhere else. It's a mystery that's over 20 years old, but with Q confirmed and Guinan likely to appear in Season 2 of Picard, they may cross paths again. The best way to make a mystery endure is to leave a few secrets behind. And even if Q and Guinan reunite, it's not likely that everything will be laid bare for the audience. But the opportunity to offer new clues about their past is an irresistible treat. This could mean something, that there's something coming for Jean-Luc Picard that will require the advice of both these strange acquaintances.
Very interesting.
I could almost sense a topic for a novel. I could almost sense a great topic for this one. With the questions I don't answer in the series, I think a novel could take care of very well.
Well, the whole issue of Guinan and Picard has never, ever been addressed. I mean, Guinan says at one point, you know, did Picard ever tell you about our history? And Riker says no. And she just says, well, it's a very old one. And that's all she says.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't elaborate on it any more than that. And as far as her powers for Q, you know, she was kind of wiggling her fingers around in the air at Q like, Guinan had some type of power as well. And ever since we first saw that episode, we were all wondering about Guinan, but they never, ever addressed it again.
Well,
it has left it hanging.
And the fact is, we don't have a clue how old Guinan is, because Guinan appeared in American history back in the 1800s.
Yep.
When we first met the original Guinan.
That's right. In Time's Arrow.
So we don't really have a complete clue of how old Guinan really is. So we don't know much. We don't know anything about her race or much about her. Definitely, I hope they answer some questions here. But if they don't, definitely I think we need a novel. Because we've got some good writers right now for novel, and they're putting out some good material right now. Discovery is getting some great work on their series of novels. Picard is starting to get in theirs too. We've got two books definitely worth reading. In fact, if fans want to kind of keep up with us, start looking for Dark Veil and start reading it, because one of these days we're going to review that book. And maybe fans
will
come in and jump in and join us in the discussion.
Yep, it's going to be fun. So we're just going to have to wait and see what they decide to do with Q, Picard, and Guinan. I mean, actually, Q, Picard, and Guinan could fill an entire season, I think, the way they tell the stories on the new show. Really,
I can't wait
so
for
much
I can't
history.
Wait for season two. I can't wait.
And there was a picture that was teased on the internet that was dropped, and it showed Seven of Nine and Raffi on a train. And on the side of the train, there's a poster for the first interstellar flight. So obviously, season two is going to have some type of time travel involved with Captain Picard. And we know that Q is going to show up. And if it's got time travel involved in it, that means that the Guinan that we're that we may meet might not be the Guinan that we see on TNG. This might be the Guinan that you were talking about, Charles, from Time and Era, the one who's currently living on Earth at the time. So, a lot of possibilities. A lot of possibilities.
Definitely.
We're just going to have to patiently wait. And speaking of John DeLancey, I've got an article here called John DeLancey Reveal. He is shooting two seasons worth of a very different Q for Star Trek Picard. Interesting revelation right there.
Yeah.
Last week, John DeLancey talked about how Q was annoying the shit out of Picard in season two. In multiple videos posted this week, the actor jokes about how Q's needling is wearing thin on Picard star Sir Patrick Stewart. John DeLancey had to say, Q is coming back. As a matter of fact, for the last 2 weeks, I have been filming on Picard and really annoying Picard. Really annoying him, he laughs. Patrick was delighted to see me the first couple of days, and after a couple of more days of really annoying scenes, he said, so how many episodes are you doing? In other words, when are you going to get out of my face? And the answer is 6 episodes. I think they are going to be coming out. Actually, I don't know. But we are shooting season 2 and 3 at the same time right now. DeLancey also talked about what it's like working on Picard with the strict COVID protocols. He said, it's really quite unusual to be shooting a television show during all this COVID stuff. It's like walking into a surgical suite. We are all masked and checked and rechecked. This morning I was checked to go back on Monday and tested, and when I got there on Monday, I will be tested again. It's quite an operation. While Q annoying Jean-Luc Picard does sound like classic situation from his recurring role on Star Trek The Next Generation, DeLancey has indicated he is actually playing Q quite differently. He went on to say, it's a very different Q this time. He wanted to go with not the kidding around as much. We will see if the audience enjoys it. I think they will. They wanted a different Q, and they got a different Q. Not the least, which is I am 30 years older. The first thing I said to them when they asked me to do the show, I asked, you're not going to have me in one of those tights, are you? You just don't want to see a 70-year-old guy running around in tights. And they said, oh, no, no, no. It's very different. I went, okay, as long as I'm not in tights. Typical Q response right there.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Charles?
Well, look at the fact we don't have Jerry Ryan in a cat suit this time.
No,
and
we don't.
Jerry Ryan's character still does very well. I think she's better off not in the cat suit. So I think the fact
I
is
agree.
Q. I think Q in nice, relaxed, Q-type outfit, I could definitely see. As I said, I cannot wait for season 2 of Picard to come out because I can't wait to see what they do with this story.
The biggest outtake from that interview is he spilled the beans that they're filming season 2 and season 3 simultaneously.
Yep.
So that means we have at least 2 seasons of Picard to look forward to, which I think is great news.
I think they're doing a little bit of that with Discovery too.
I heard that they were
trying to get a couple of seasons.
I heard that, Charles. I heard they were filming season 4 and 5 simultaneously, but I haven't been able to confirm that anywhere. But I did hear that when they started filming. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, I could see them doing that and taking their time working on the digital editing of season 3 of Picard and season 5 of Discovery. And we can start getting those timelines set to when they start releasing series. So we can start getting those years worth of Star Trek in there.
Right.
When we start getting those
especially
episodes.
Strange New
like,
World.
Okay. Yep. When we start getting, it's like, okay, we start getting something similar to what we had last year. Where all of a sudden, oh, okay, Lower Decks is dropping. Oh, by the way, when you're done with Lower Decks, we're going to put you right into Discovery. And I think if they go, when they start dropping a series here, take a couple of weeks, drop another series, take a week or a month, drop another series, and just start hitting us where every couple of months, every few months, we got new Star Trek. And I think we get to the point of like, oh, we got constantly new Star Trek. We're getting so much Star Trek, we just love it. We're just busy talking every episode. We're talking about new Star Trek.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. So, Charles, you got our next story.
Well, you mentioned this one in the teaser. Could this character return to Star Trek? Trek Enterprise fans note that Scott Bakula played Captain Jonathan Archer, Captain the Enterprise NX-01 version. It was a mission cut short only after 4 years. With the NCIS New Orleans series ending, Bakula could easily portray Archer again in Picard or Strange New World. Although Archer would be more than 130 years old, Star Trek writer Mike Sussman indicates that Archer dies after the christening of the NCC 1701 that sends Captain James T. Kirk in his space, which also would send Pike and April Waves as Archer. Ramon Bragan, Enterprise's co-creator and head writer, often indicated the temporal Cold War agent, also known as the Future Guy, who led the Tulaban, was Jonathan Archer. Paramount Plus should include Star Trek characters and events fans are desperate to see. In the Star Trek universe, fans yearn to watch two major events, the Romulan War and the Birth of Federation. Archer is a pivotal figure in both the Romulan War and the Birth Federation. He has already faced Romulans and Enterprise and has helped defeat them by uniting the humans, Vulcans, Andorians, and Tellarites. He even helped uncover Romulans who infiltrated the Vulcan High Command in the Ark among the fans known as the Vulcan Ark, the Borg's Awakening calls. Here she are, fans. Also know Archer becomes president of the Federation. Whether Bakula or other comeback, the Star Trek universe has never been brighter, and the unlimited potential for more Star Trek universe to be universe to be covered is possible. And yes, there's been the book I was just finishing. There is drops and references to the Romulan War. And, oh, we just saw the fan video. Remember, we saw the Axanon prelude discussing the Romulan War. And definitely, I'd like a good backstory to what happened there. And how we got the break from them until we reach TOS's when he deals with the Romulans 100 years later. I'd love to know what happened in that war. I'm sure the novel, I'm sure the old 90s, 80s and 90s novels have talked about it. But I'd be interested to hear some canon factual details of what did happen then. What about you?
Yeah, I think that the character of Archer has been mistreated. I think he was a great character, and I think Enterprise wasn't half as bad as people thought that it was. I think, as we talked about when we talked about the finale and the pilot, I think that the writers just, I think in their attempt to the same old Star Trek, they lost sight of what they were writing, and I think this article hits the nail on the head. Fans want to see the birth of the Federation, and that's the one thing that they didn't show us. You know, they showed us, you know, Archer becoming friends with Shran, and we saw the Tellarites and the Vulcans, but we never actually got to see them come together, and they cut the final episode short before we got to see a speech. So they still haven't really shown us the actual birth of the Federation, that everybody was watching that show to see that, and they didn't give it to us. So,
well, and Riker talks about that. That's the speech they had to memorize when they were in the academy. Okay, but we've never seen that speech. We've never heard what he said. I think we want to know what he said, what happened.
If they can find a way to get him and get those facts into Star Trek, I'm all for it. I think that's a great idea, and I, for one, would be really excited to see him. And if he is indeed the future guy, then the fact that they said he died after the Enterprise 1701 was launched, that doesn't really mean anything, because if he's the future guy, then that means he could come back in time anytime he wants to. So, and this is Star Trek. Nobody really ever truly dies in Star Trek. So, listen, guys, we have to take another quick commercial break, but don't worry, we're not going to go anywhere. Our phone number here is 646-668-2433, and we're going to be talking about Star Trek Beyond in just a minute. So run, don't walk to the bathroom, and don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after we hear this really important message about Strange New Worlds.
Space, the final frontier.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
Its five-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life
and new civilizations,
to boldly go where no one has gone before.
That's right. Production is officially underway on the all-new Star Trek series.
Strange New Worlds.
I'm just so excited to say those words.
Stepping back onto the Enterprise will always feel like a dream come true.
To sit there and to look around and to see everything, it felt so real and it was so magical.
It looks like it could take off.
Such a surreal moment for me that I will remember for a very long time.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say it's like a 705.
So get ready for the voyages you have been waiting for.
We've started. We're in Toronto. We're in production.
Here we go.
And we're back. And Charles, you have our next story for us, which I hinted at in the introduction.
Yes, and some of you may have seen this ad, or if you caught it online. But LaVar Burton stars in new ad for Ryan Reynolds Gin. LaVar Burton stars in a new ad for Ryan Reynolds co-owned liquor, Aviation Gin. The gin itself was created over 100 years ago. Burton has been in Hollywood for over 40 years, with his roots role as Cooper Kane propelled him to fame. With such a lengthy career, Burton has played a few iconic roles, running from the gamut of movies and television world. Star Trek fans know him for playing Geordi LaForge in Star Trek Next Generation for 15 years. People who grew up in the 80s and 90s, however, likely know him for the host of Reading Rainbow. Now he's the for-now of Reynolds Liquor Brand. That Jim's got a soundbite of that commercial.
Yes, I do. I thought it would be something fun. So here it is. the Ryan and LeVar soundbite for his wine.
Everybody's been saying how great LeVar Burton is. So I decided to have him step in for me as spokesperson for Aviation Gin. LeVar?
Thanks, Ryan. The smooth, refreshing taste of Aviation American Gin. For an out-of-this-world gin and tonic.
Now that man is a goddamn national treasure. He's probably too good for us.
What do you mean, too good?
LeVar! What? You can hear me. Usually it's just me in here.
It's so dark.
Welcome to hell.
This isn't going to work out, Ryan.
I think that's a great spot.
Yeah.
Originally, we were going to play that when we were talking about LeVar and Jeopardy. But that was another story that we bumped up to the next to this week from last week. So we had a lot of LeVar stories last week. But that's a great spot. I think it's funny. And
yeah.
I love the interaction between LeVar and Ryan Reynolds, who a lot of you people know is Deadpool, a little guy named Deadpool. It's funny. It's just a funny spot. I like it. So we have a caller on the line here. Charles, you want to talk to a caller?
All right. Sure,
let's see if I can get this thing to work here. Hello, thank you for calling Trick Talk. And what's your name and where are you calling us from tonight?
Shannon, I'm calling from Kentucky.
Oh, hey, Shannon, how are you doing tonight? How you feeling?
I'm fine. How are y'all doing? Good.
Oh, we're doing great. We are doing great. We're just about to start talking about Star Trek Beyond. You're just in time.
I know, but I was trying to watch it earlier today, but it's not on Paramount Plus, which makes no sense, but okay.
You know something?
It is available on Amazon Prime.
Okay. Well, I have that too.
Emailed them and complained and bitched and moaned about that over and over and over and over again. And it's like, you know, Paramount Plus, you guys are the Star Trek station. You tout
right.
that you're Star Trek, and yet you don't have the Star Trek movies.
Well,
right before
we went and saw Picard, I watched the last Star Trek movie, which was relevant, which I didn't know that, but it worked out that way. And I had to buy it because it wasn't on CBS at All Access either. It's like, really? Really?
Yeah. I don't understand how they can own Star Trek. And they don't even have all the movies. In fact,
right.
they don't even have Star Trek 1 through 6, I don't think. I think they're missing
really?
Some
I think
of them.
Four. I think
okay,
four
hold
on.
No,
is
well,
on
they,
there.
They have two. Because they have three Star Trek movies up because I just looked before I called them. Let me see.
I
say that. Okay. And the Voyage, they have the one where they go Picard and Kirk are on.
Generation.
And Nemesis, actually.
And Nemesis.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't have all the Star Trek movies. They should.
Yeah, they totally should.
But I keep sending them emails. Once a month, I send them an email and complain. I say, look, I'm spending $10 a month for your non-commercial subscription. And I have
mm-hmm.
to go to other places to watch Star Trek movies, and that shouldn't happen. You guys
right.
own
he actually
Star
has
Trek.
When you scroll down, it says, you know, all shows, originals, blah, 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 Star Trek. Like, it's the own channel.
Exactly.
It doesn't make
It doesn't make any sense. But
no.
It is what it is, I guess. So
yeah, but we'll still pay him to watch it.
That's true. So, I'm stuck with them anyways. So we're going to talk about Star Trek Beyond, everybody. Our phone number here is 646-668-2433. You can join myself, Charles, and Shannon. And we're going to talk about Star Trek. So first, I have to, just to remind you guys, I have to play the trailer for Star Trek Beyond. Now, I have to point out before I play this, this is actually trailer number 2 for Star Trek Beyond. And I'm pointing that out because we're going to talk about trailer number 1 and trailer number 3 a little bit later. But right now, I'm going to play trailer number 2. And the reason why I'm playing trailer number 2 is because this is the trailer that most fans liked. So this is the trailer number 2 for Star Trek Beyond. Maybe. There we go. Live radio.
My dad joined Starfleet because he believed in it. I joined on a dare.
You joined to see if you could live up to him. You spent all this time trying to be your father. And now you're wondering just what it means to be you.
It isn't uncommon, you know. It's easy to get lost. In the vastness of space, there's only yourself, your ship, your crew.
You really want to head back out there, huh? What the hell is this?
They're boarding us.
Abandon ship!
My God.
I know why you're here. Why we are all here.
Our captains will come for us. Mercy will be the last thing on his mind.
I am counting on it.
Fear of death is illogical. Fear of death is what keeps us alive.
Everyone who goes there, he kills.
That's our friends out there. We can't just leave them behind.
Unity is not your strength. It's a weakness.
I think you're underestimating humanity.
Hold on to something! Fire at will! Do it! Do it!
Pardon me.
He likes that scene.
So, Star Trek Beyond was released in 2016. It was directed by Justin Lin, written by Simon Pegg and Doug Jones. It is the 13th film in the Star Trek franchise and is the third installment in the reboot series following Star Trek 2009 and Star Trek Into Darkness in 2013. This was one of Anton Yelchin's last films. He died in June of 2016, a month before the film's release. Principal photography began in Vancouver on June 25th, 2015. The film premiered in Sydney on July 7th, 2016 and was released on July 22nd, 2016 in the United States. The film is dedicated to the memory of Yelchin as well as to Leonard Nimoy, who died during pre-production. The film grossed $343.5 million at the box office and received positive reviews with praise from Lin's direction, the acting, action sequences, musical score, visual effects, and tributes to Yelchin and Nimoy. At the 89th Academy Awards, the film was nominated for Best Makeup and Hairstyling. In 2014, early in the film's development, William Shatner said that he was contacted by producer Abrams to see if he would be interested in a possible role. But as the process continued and the script changed hands, the role never materialized. Alice Eve was not included in the film, despite her character having joined the Enterprise crew at the end of the last installment, because Peg, in writing the script, did not have anything meaningful for her to do. In March of 2015, Idris Elba was in early talks to play the villain and was confirmed for the role the following month. Peg noted that the villain would be an original one rather than a known antagonist from past stories, in the Star Trek franchise. On June 26, 2016, singer Rihanna released a teaser across her social media accounts for a single for the film entitled Sledgehammer, and the song premiered the following day. The Beastie Boys' Sabotage was used in the movie's trailer as well as the final battle scene. Now you guys know where we're going with this. A teaser trailer for the film was released on December 14th, 2015, and was criticized by some fans for focusing too much on action and for featuring the Beastie Boys' song Sabotage, which many considered out of place despite its use in the first film of the series. Peg expressed similar thoughts of dissatisfaction with the teaser, saying that he didn't love it because I know there's a lot more to the film. He interpreted the trailer to be a way of marketing them, of the marketing team saying, come and see this movie, it's full of action and fun. A second trailer was released on May 20th, 2016 to warmer reviews. That's the trailer we just played. A third trailer and final trailer was released on June 27, 2016, featuring Rhiannon Tamer. Star Trek Beyond underperformed financially at the box office. Scott Mendelson of Forbes observed that one factor contributing to the film's underperformance was its untimely release in a crowded summer in which it was surrounded by other films like Ghostbusters, Jason Bourne, and The Suicide Squad. He also noted that had Paramount released the film for Star Trek's 50th anniversary on September 8th, the film could have benefited from that occasion. Star Trek Beyond grossed a worldwide total of $343.5 million against a production budget of $185 million. It had a global opening of $89.2 million. Industry analysis, Doug Cox, had previously estimated that in order for the film to break even, it would have to earn between $340 and $350 million worldwide and ended losing an estimated $50 million at the box office. Wow. So, Charles, what do our fans think about this movie?
Okay, and our fan scores on this one are very scattered. Top fan David Lavender, the Kelvin Universe, giving him 8. Michael Ramsey, I'd say 6. Not my favorite Trek movie, but it's much better than the other Kelvin timeline film. Kitty Skrull, it's the best of 3 movies. The plot is pretty solid and it's got some good jokes. I enjoyed it, giving it a 9. Top fan Brenda J. Thompson Pellet gave it a 10. Curtis Ward, my least favorite of the Kelvin Star Trek films, giving it a 5. Tim the Argon, the worst one of the trilogy, kept everything that was bad about the previous ones and yet lost almost everything that was good, giving it a 3. Kevin Taylor loved it, giving it a 10. Anthony Colony gave it a 10 as well. Top fan James B. Sturd gave it a 3. Ola Marklin, Nuffhead, giving it a 2. Our fans' overall score with this is a 6.6. I went in just now and looked up the Rotten Tomatoes score to see what it was. With the critics, it was an 86%. With the fans, gave it an 80%. So a lot of fans rather liked this one. It's just that there are fans out there that just dislike this one for many different reasons. In fact, I saw one fan's opinion was that this movie just, there was so much action that his people just couldn't handle it. It was too intense. But definitely an interesting movie, and this topic is going to be an interesting discussion.
And I told you guys I wanted to play. I got a couple of other trailers I want to play. This is the second trailer, or I want to play the first one.
First.
Yeah. This is the first trailer that came out that had the Beastie Boys in it. Why aren't these things working? Come on.
It's not Monday. What's going on?
We had board problems.
Is that music?
It's a good choice.
Hey, well played.
We got no ship. No crew. How are we going to get out of this one?
We will find hope in the impossible. Well, at least I won't die alone.
Well, that's just typical.
Let's hope this doesn't get messy.
This is where it begins, Captain. This is where the frontier pushes back.
What the hell is this?
I know why you're here. Why we are all here.
Okay, let's never do that again.
So that was the very first trailer that we saw for Star Trek Beyond. And I personally, I didn't mind it because, as they said, that particular song was used in the first movie. So it didn't bother me that they used Sabotage again in this movie because it was kind of already associated with Star Trek. And I didn't really mind the trailer all that much. There was a lot of great scenes in there. The one with McCoy saying, "Well, at least I won't die alone." And then they beam Spock away and he says, "How typical." It was so McCoy. And that trailer didn't bother me. I wasn't bothered by the use of that song in that trailer. Although I do want to admit that trailer number two, the one that we played at the top of the show, I think it is a more Star Trek-esque trailer than that one was. But that one didn't really bother me all that much. And then the final trailer that came out with this Rhiannon song called Sledgehammer, that's this one right here. Hopefully, there we go.
My dad joined Starfleet because he believed in it. I joined on a dare. You joined to see if you could live up to him. You spent all his time trying to be your dad. And now you're wondering what it means to be you. We were overwhelmed by something. Something we've never seen before. And no, this isn't the last of my crew. But this is my last report as the captain of the Starship Enterprise.
I'm bracing for the pain and I am letting go. I gathered all my strength and I found myself. Ooh. I hit a wall. I thought that I would hurt myself. But I hit a wall. And I feel like
make some noise.
I hit a wall. I hit a wall. I hit a wall.
Hold on to something.
So, Shannon, what did you think of those two trailers, Sabotage 1 and the Rhiannon 1?
Well, I like the first one better than the last one because I just don't think of Star Trek having a theme song. But of the two of those, I thought the sabotage one made more sense because we had heard it before. And, you know, that is tied into when we went to space with Cochrane the first time.
Right.
So that made more sense to me.
You know, I got to say something. Every time I hear that third trailer, first of all, okay, I'm really, really old because I don't even know who Rhiannon is. I don't know. Okay, so.
Well, I know her because of that, maybe, but that's
not. I mean, maybe she's, I don't know. I don't know anything about her except that song. So I can't say anything about her other than I'm old and don't know her. But when I hear that song, I think of a movie that came out with Bruce Willis called The Fifth Element. And that song reminds me of The Fifth Element because it's a very similar song that this big blue woman sings in The Fifth Element, which that song eerily reminds me of. And every time I hear it, I think of The Fifth Element. It just pulls me right out of Star Trek, right into Bruce Willis. So, but again, I don't know who she is, so maybe that song isn't typical of what she, the kind of music she plays. But for me, that just doesn't work, that particular song. And I don't know why they had to use actual songs in two of their three trailers. Now, as you said, Shannon, the Sabotage one didn't bother me all that much because it was already pre-established. But why they felt the need to do that, I don't understand. I really
don't.
Well,
they're trying to get more people to go to... We're trying to get more people to go to the movie that wouldn't watch it otherwise. I mean, realistically, that's what they're trying to do because we're going to go anyway.
Well, yeah. I'm going to go see the movie regardless. You know, I'll be there on opening night regardless. And so I don't care what music they use in the trailer. When a Star Trek movie comes out, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter to me.
Well,
in fact,
okay.
When Star Trek Beyond opened, we were up at camp and I had my boot on cause I tore my Achilles tendon and Karen and I went down to the mall three times to get tickets for that movie. And three times it was sold out and we couldn't get in. So, you know, I'm like, wow, for a movie that didn't make the money it was supposed to make, I couldn't get in to see it. So anyways,
well, it was funny.
When we come back,
the last, go ahead.
Yeah, Star Trek Beyond. Listen, guys, we're going to take our final break, but we have a lot more to talk about. Shannon, Charles, and myself are going to dive deep into Star Trek Beyond, why we think it didn't do as well, why we think it should have done better, and what we liked and didn't like about the movie. Our number here is 646-668-2433. Give us a call and be part of the conversation. Run, don't walk to the bathroom. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after we hear the teaser trailer for Star Trek Picard Season 2.
The true final frontier is time. Time can turn even our most impulsive, our most ill-considered actions into history. What we do in a crisis often weighs upon us less heavily than what we wish we had done. What could have been? Time offers so many opportunities, but never second chances.
And we're back, and we're talking about Star Trek Beyond. So, Charles, what do you think about all the different trailers that we heard, and why do you think they made the choices they did to give us three trailers?
Well, we've seen a lot more recently where we get multiple trailers for different shows and kind of teasing to get different audiences' opinions in there. But I was doing a little bit of research while we were talking, and they talked about, like, oh, Ghostbusters, Jason Bourne, Suicide Squad, as if these were the big hits of 2016. And I looked, it's like, oh, I'm curious, what do people in Rotten Tomatoes think? Well, overall, critics liked Ghostbusters with a 74%. Fans gave it a 49%. To my knowledge, remembering the new Ghostbusters was a flop. Oh, Jason Bourne. Oh, critics gave it a 54%. Fans gave it a 55%. Doesn't sound like the fans were that enthused about it. Oh, you got Suicide Squad. The fans gave it a 59%. The critics gave it a 26%. And yet, remember I said that this, our film, got percentages in the 80s. Fans and critics liked this movie. The movies they threw out and said, oh, these were the big hits. Those weren't big hits that year. I'm not sure exactly what were the big hits of 2016, but some of the movies they compared them to were not big hits. In fact, I remember a lot of fans tearing Ghostbusters apart because they didn't like the reboot format. So it'll be interesting to see how fans take the new movie. I admit I am not a big fan of the music choices. They weren't bands that I was, sure, I've heard of Beastie Boys, but I'm familiar a little bit of their early 80s stuff, not their more current work. Though, I do think the song they chose for that did have a good, interesting beat, and it fit the theme of the scene, which I think worked because it was a high-energy scene of we finally found the weakness of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we may not be familiar with it, but they did a good job of defeating the enemy with this, which I think was a good key point of the episode, which is that's why I don't mind the song because it fit in with the scene. But definitely, I think the second one was Gibson, what was happening in the movie. And I told Jim earlier in the week, it's like, I'm not sure why the fans didn't like this one unless it was just burnout. Because this was definitely an action-packed movie. And I'm sure Jim wants to discuss some of those action-packed scenes he saw.
Well, I think that when they put out the Kelvin Timeline Universe movies, they were trying to draw a younger crowd, and they did. People like my daughter and TJ that had never, ever went to see a Star Trek movie. Well, not my daughter, but like her age, went to see these movies. So they were after a younger audience. So they thought if they used music that would appeal to a younger audience, they would get the younger audience. Also, by going with the director, Justin Lin, who had just come off of The Fast and the Furious, which was a huge film franchise and actually still is because now they're making a new Fast and Furious in space. I forgot what number it is, number 19. I don't
20?
Even remember. But at 20. So, but at any rate, I think they were going for a younger crowd. And unfortunately, it alienated a lot of the older fans. Didn't alienate me, but a lot of fans it did. Because fans are fickle. It doesn't take much for fans to flake out. They're very easy to alienate and tick off. It doesn't take much sometimes. But they did hire Justin Lin from Fast and Furious. The first trailer had rock and roll music. That's the first strike. Second strike with that trailer is it had Kirk riding around on a motorcycle. All the fans are like, oh, Justin Lin from Fast and Furious. Well, this is going to be a Fast and Furious in space. That was their second strike. And I think the third strike that really drove a lot of fans away is a multi-pronged strike. First of all, they didn't release it on the 50th anniversary. That was a big hit. They they really blew it by not doing that. Because for Star Trek's 25th anniversary, oh my God, there was so much going on, so many celebrations. Star Trek's 50th, I think, was just kind of came and went, and they didn't do anything. And
I think it was
a
week before the Vegas convention for the 50th anniversary, because I saw it in Vegas.
I mean,
so, I mean, those were related, but the rest of the country wasn't related to that.
Yeah, they could have done so much more. And the other thing that was going on at the exact same moment as this, if you guys remember, is this is exactly the time when Paramount sued the people at Axanar. And there was a big divide going on in the fandom over how dare Paramount sue somebody for raising over $1 million on their – I mean, it was a giant nightmare, and it was all stirred up. And you know, Paramount doesn't like Star Trek fans. They're against the fans, blah, 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 blah. And I think when you add all those things together, it comes out to a tepid response at the box office.
And it was like within a week or two from the show, like right before the movie came out, like literally a couple weeks before the movie came out.
Yeah, it was like all right there. So I think all those factors add up to making fans not want to go. And then if you go back to Into Darkness, there's a lot of fans that hate Into Darkness, and they did for various reasons. And I think a lot of fans held that against Star Trek Beyond. And that's what it comes down to, in my opinion. Like I said, fans are fickle. It doesn't take much to turn them. And I think the winds were all blowing in the right direction, and it boded very unfavorable for Star Trek Beyond. So let's talk about the movie itself, though. I feel that Simon Pegg did an outstanding job writing this movie. There's so much great stuff in this movie. You know, the Spock and McCoy interaction is fabulous, I think. The scenes with Spock giving Uhura a tracking device and radioactive jewelry and stuff was just
hilarious.
When
she finds out,
funny.
He's in trouble.
I just loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that it was Anton Yelchin's final film as Chekhov is also a touching moment. And I think the best moment in the movie is when they acknowledge when Zachary Quinto as Kelvin Spock acknowledges that Leonard Nimoy as Prime Spock has died, and he opens up the I don't know what you call it, the folder, Spock's, and in there is a picture from Star Trek V and the original TOS crew, and they play the Star Trek music, but just the trumpet part. If that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, you are not a Star Trek fan. I was bawling like a baby. And even when I rewatched it before the podcast, that just got me. So there are some great, great moments in this movie, I feel. But there is a drawback, though. I do have an issue with the movie, and I think that a good Star Trek movie, and not next week, but the following week, the 13th, the 20th, we're going to be talking about the Wrath of Khan. And I think what makes a Star Trek movie great is the villain. If you have a good villain, you have a good movie. Unfortunately, I think that the villain in this movie was lacking. I think Krall, his motives weren't very well outlined, and he just wasn't – I just felt that he was a very weak villain, and they never really made it clear why he had to go around sucking the life out of the Enterprise crew, or even, you know, how he sucked their life out of them. But he did, kind of like a walking some walking dead zombie. He just sucks out their life. That was a little bit weird, and they never really explained it all that well. So that I think was a drawback. Destroying the Enterprise. Oh my God!
Again,
when
in the beginning,
again,
even
again,
not at the end
again.
Of the movie. Yeah,
You know, when Kirk blew up the Enterprise in Star Trek III, I cried. Okay, it was the, we just got over the death of Spock, and now we have the Enterprise dying. Come on, I can't take any more of this. But since then, we saw the Enterprise D go down in flames. We saw the Enterprise F go down in flames. And then we saw the Kelvin Enterprise go down in flames in every single movie. And it just it
well, I figured,
gets old.
I figured in every Star Trek movie, we get a new ship at this rate.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I didn't like the fact that they destroyed the Enterprise in the first 8 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, though, I still thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I think Jayla is a great character. I really
love her.
I hope we see her again in a future movie. I really, really do, because I liked her a lot. How they're going to
She was the first person I cosplayed as.
As Jayla? That's
yeah,
cool.
I did. It was like my first con, and I was, well, my first big con, and I was her at the convention. So.
That's pretty cool. You know, I liked the beginning where they actually showed the Enterprise on a mission, and Kirk is talking mm-hmm. to these creatures, and they turn out to be these little tiny gremlin creatures that attack him, and his shirt gets torn off again, and when he gets back on the ship, he's like, "Oh, and you tore your shirt again." You know, it was funny. It was.
I'm playing it without sound while we're watching it or while we're talking, so it's.
It was great because that's so Kirk-like, and you know the relationship between Kirk, Spock, and McCoy is really cemented mm-hmm. in this movie. That you know we've been out here for a long time and we know each other so well. It was mm-hmm. very. I think that Simon Pegg wrote a solid movie, and he really has a grasp on the relationships in Star Trek. But the villain was a little bit lacking, in my opinion. And I think that is the only thing that draws the movie down, is the villain wasn't. But I thought it was cool how they mentioned the Makos from Star Trek Enterprise. Mm-hmm. I really like the fact that he mentioned, oh, everybody thought it was destroyed by a giant green hand, which we talked about last week.
I missed that. Oh, my God.
That was the
I know the reference, but I didn't hear it in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, he makes a reference. Scotty makes a reference to that. So, you know, Simon Pegg knows his Star Trek, and it showed in this movie. So I also didn't like how the Enterprise was just so easily dispatched, torn to shreds, and the
mm-hmm.
crew was just, like, blown away like they weren't even there. And, you know, that kind of left me like, well, I think Starfleet could have done a little better than that, but. You know, that aside, it's a fun movie. I enjoy it. And Shannon, what did you think about the movie?
Yeah. Well, I knew that they were making 5 different alien species because it's the 50th anniversary. And so I keep getting distracted by trying to figure out which 55th are the ones that are aliens. Are they counting the bugs? Did you know that part? Because you didn't say that when you did all the background of the movie. That they had 50 new alien species. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I didn't mention that, but you're absolutely right.
That's okay. So I got a little distracted at some point when I was trying to count all the aliens, but I like this one. Okay, I like the second one because Khan's a great villain, but that was too more action-y. I thought this was less action-y as far as, like, towards Star Trek, so I like this because they're actually, you know, they're on the planet and trying to save things. They're not just fighting, like, with Khan. Yeah. Like, they're not jumping from ship to ship like they did with Khan. They're actually, like, trying to save people, you know. And we got to see Jayla, so that was the best part for me. Because she's awesome.
I like the interaction between Chekov and Sulu, too, on the bridge.
Yeah.
When they're sliding off the cliff and they kind of high-five each other, which actually would be the last time we get to see those two together. So that was sad.
Yeah.
But perfect in the movie. You know, and how about you, Charles? What did you think about Star Trek Beyond?
Well, one of the scenes that they had a great job in was seeing Bones and Spock together on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
When they land
yes.
and Spock's injured. And you see that reaction between how McCoy reacts to Spock. And McCoy throws out this random comment to Spock. It's like, oh, what's your favorite color or something? Spock's like, oh, that's irrelevant. It's like, well, yes, it is irreverent. I'm just trying to distract you as I sit there and hit you with this hot spike to try trying to steal your injury.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that sounds like a McCoy Spock situation. That sounds like the way those two would have reacted to each other. But as you say in there, we got Jayla in there. I love Jayla and Scotty's reaction.
Yeah.
I love how those two work together. Those two made interesting pair. One thing I thought about the opening. It's like every Star Trek, well, the last two at least, seems like Kirk's in there dealing with some alien race, and it doesn't make sense how it ties into the movie. Well, this one tied directly into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
This one tied in. They deal with this strange weapon, this object, and it's like, yes, our main enemy is after this object, and it's a weapon. Oh, okay, but at least we tied it in there. Kirk's off running, trying to deal with these enemies on a planet he's not supposed to be there on, and okay, we're not sure what's going on in it. At least we understood how this was tied in. But we had some great interactions, how Jayla reacted when it's like, okay, did you drink all of those? Yeah. Supposed to take the edge off. It didn't take the edge off. And I was like, well, this will sit there and take the edge off. It's like, here's your acceptance into the Starfleet Academy. It's like, oh, that took the edge off. It's like, that was a great interaction. It's like, okay, we got a chance of seeing this character again. But I love some of the character reactions. Spock and her are kind of separating. Oh, yes. Well, I want to return this necklace. No, we don't take gifts back. Okay, so you give your girlfriend a radioactive necklace that means you can be trapped. Okay.
Yeah, there's the look he gets.
As Shannon's laughing, and the looks of a couple of people when they realize what he's done. It's like, there's some good, funny scenes in there. We're laughing at it. Kirk, when he goes on that motorcycle. No, it wasn't a Fast and Furious, but it was fun to see all those holograms of Kirk running around distracting the enemy. It's like, yes, and I'm going in to distract him. That's exactly what he did. He did do a great job of distracting them.
And
like, yes,
Charles,
he saved his crew.
I've got this. I have this.
What the hell would a Vulcan mineral be doing way out here?
Where are you going with this?
Lieutenant Uhura wears a Vokaya amulet, which I presented to her as a token of my affection and respect.
You gave your girlfriend radioactive jewelry.
The emission is harmless, Doctor, but its unique signature makes it very easy to identify.
You gave your girlfriend a tracking device.
That was not my intention.
That's Russian.
Yeah. But that's Vulcan logic.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, the best thing you can say is to explain himself as he gave her the last piece of something, so it was a big deal. But if she finds out he can track her, he's in trouble.
And I have no doubt that Uhura would kick his butt in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. No, either Uhura. Either generation of Uhura would kick his ass.
I also think that I really, really like what they did with Uhura. in this movie because she is a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She really is. She's smart. She's strong. She's intelligent. Mm-hmm. And she kicks ass and sacrifices herself to save her crewmates. What they did with Uhura in this movie was outstanding. Absolutely outstanding character building for that character. I think that that Michelle would have been proud of what they did with that character.
I hope so.
And we missed one of the biggest things in this movie. The station. Where the McCoy they built a space station out here. They couldn't sit there and do a planet. They actually had to build a station. And you look at this gravity that this thing has, where you see multiple levels and they have different gravity sources. But you can fly a ship directly in a space dock. It's like, that's a great idea for a space dock. You incorporate a space dock into a full station. And we've got this big area where so many people can be working. And that was a great idea. I think we've never really talked about a station like that before.
Yeah, because you have to have some place. You didn't leave everybody on the Earth anyway.
the biggest part is the ending. When they show the Enterprise A being built, and Captain Kirk does his monologue, but if you remember how it ends, each one of the crew part of the monologue, and they say it all together. He starts off with space, the final frontier. And then Scotty joins in, and Spock joins in, and Uhura joins in, and Chekhov joins in, and Sulu joins in. And it was very reminiscent of the way Star Trek VI ends with the signatures on the screen. I really like that. So, Shannon, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, what would you give this movie? Now, our fans gave it a 6.6. So where would you put it?
Well, okay. I know it's maybe not like regular Star Trek or whatever, but I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to go with an 8.5.
8.5. Excellent. So you're above our fans. You're disagreeing with our fans. And
yeah, that's fine.
How about you, Charles?
I'm going to go right up there with the critics and the fans on Rotten Tomatoes and go with an 8.3. Split them in half.
8.3. Yeah, and you know, I'm going to be right there with you guys. I'm going to go with an 8.6 right there in that, right around there with you guys. And one thing I didn't mention is I love the soundtrack. I think that the music in the movie was very well done. So I'm gonna go right there with an 8.6. So believe it or not, guys, wow, we just wrapped up another show.
Wow,
hard to believe.
Yeah.
So next week on the 13th, we're going to be talking about Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. If you guys want to tune in for that? We did all of the premieres. We did all of the final episodes. So now we're going to go back and take a look at the movies. So I'm just randomly picking the movies. There's no order that I've picked them in. So I started with Star Trek Beyond. The next week will be Star Trek VI. The following week will be Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And we'll just keep moving through them. It depends on what movie I feel like watching at the time. So that's
now you're going to do both the cons at the same time? Like the original con
not.
And this con?
No, probably not. I don't think we could fit, all into the same episode because we run out of time in a hurry. But anyways. So if you guys are fans of Star Trek VI, you want to tune in next week. And Eric will be back with us again next week, so you guys can tune in and have some fun with us. Make sure you go over to our Facebook page. We just broke 50,000 followers, which is awesome.
Woohoo!
50,004, to be exact. And you can find us at Facebook at Trek Talking and Beyond. Spell that out, A-N-D, Trek Talking and Beyond. Go over there, and you'll see the Live Long and Prosper, and tell us where you're from. If you see a heart next to your name, that means you've been chosen, and you're going to get it mentioned in a fan shout-out on a future show. Also, well, you can head over to the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page. That's where our good friend Leslie Hoffman is. And usually I do a podcast with Leslie on Sunday nights called Stunt Treks. Unfortunately, I'm up at camp all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and don't have time to do the podcast on Sundays anymore. So we put it on hiatus until camp ends. But that doesn't mean you can't go over and say hello to Leslie. If you have a question you want to ask her or you want to get an autograph, just head on over there, and she'll be more than happy to help you out. It's Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization on Facebook. And I think that pretty much wraps it up. So I want to say thank you to Shannon for hanging out and Trek talking with us tonight. Shannon, it was great to hear from you.
Thank you. It's always good to talk to you all.
And you're always welcome here. So you're welcome anytime. We're always here for you.
Well, just so you know, even if I'm not on the show, I'm always listening to you all.
Oh, that's cool.
We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
We do appreciate that. And, of course, thank you so much to Charles for hanging out and Trek talking with us tonight. Thank you so much, Charles.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Even though we're just you and I, we still had a lot of fun doing this episode.
We got through it. We definitely did. Mm-hmm. And, of course, thank you to each and every one of you guys out there around the globe, no matter where you are listening to us from. We really appreciate it. Even if you're not listening live, even if you're listening on Amazon or Stitcher or iHeartRadio or iTunes, it doesn't matter whether it's Thursday night live, which we are right now, or Saturday, mm-hmm. Sunday, Tuesday. It doesn't matter. We appreciate it, and we couldn't do the show without you guys. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being out there, for helping us keep the house, and we really appreciate that. I'm your host, excellent host, Uncle Jim, and I want to say thank you. Stay safe, be good to each other, and hailing frequencies are closed. Good night, everybody.
Live long and prosper.
Peace and long life.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.